Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Windows on the World. Yes, I'm Mark Windows. I've been on RBN now for quite a few weeks. We've had a few ups and downs as far as the reception goes, not from the dear listener, of course, but because I'm in the middle of nowhere. That's going to change next week. I may be slightly more urban. I may be going towards a town. Yes, that's tomorrow. However, it's nearly the weekend. And what does that mean? Does it mean that people are going to be really selfish in the UK and going to start going to beaches and packing them out and having the government rail against them? It probably does. But what we have to remember is every day is a COVID holiday. Yes, selfish people have been packing the beaches. All this and more today with Sandy Adams. But just recapping on our show earlier this week, we reported on pre-crime profiling cameras being rejected after mad techno geeks thought they could tell by the look of someone that they were about to commit a crime. This was, of course, jumped on by the Diversity Brigade, which actually helped tremendously. However, this being overturned, and now, good news, Boston will not use facial recognition with any government systems. The City Council unanimously passed an ACLU-backed ban, the Associated Press reports. The move makes Boston the second largest city in the US after San Francisco to restrict facial recognition's use. Massachusetts cities Cambridge, Springfield, Northampton, Brookline and Somerville have passed similar local laws. Oh, I wonder if that could happen in the UK. We have mega regions and mega councils, even like the One Bay Area, you know, the sandbag stuff in California. We've got that happening in the UK now. All of these sort of regional councils joining together to make these mega councils. We were warning about this years ago, and that was in the days of pre-COVID, before the new normal. But let's capitalise on this and their sort of kickback on all local council interference. Wouldn't that be great? Next up today, the aviation industry is beginning what promises to be a lengthy and fraught path back to, wait for it, you know what they're going to say, don't you? Sustainability. Well, will it be vibrant? Will it be diverse? Will it be resilient? Let's see. It includes new deployments of facial recognition and, wait for it, temperature screening for passengers. A CITA executive told an Aviation Week webinar audience that the industry will have to invest in technology to make traveller journeys touchless as passengers return. Okay, first, before I introduce Sandy, or second actually, coronavirus, this is from the BBC, what could local lockdowns look like in England? The government says that local lockdowns could be used to deal with further outbreaks of COVID-19 in England. Of course, it's different in Scotland and Wales and Ireland, except Northern Ireland. Of course, Northern Ireland's crown, and it's draconian over there. In Ireland, they have different rules, but that's more like EU law. But really, it's all communitarian law, isn't it? Yes. The manufacturing of COVID spikes will be used to control the public. I bet you it will. However, it says on the BBC website, there is still uncertainty over the details of what they would involve. What's meant by local lockdown, asks the BBC. On the 27th of May, Health Secretary Matt Hancock announced that local restrictions or lockdowns could be used in specific areas in England if there were localised flare-ups. Now, this is interesting, because by flare-ups, they mean, oh, COVID spikes. But all this can be manufactured. And we've reported in the past how, through multi-agency complicity, all this is very easy to do, especially with the Internet of Things and 5G. Is that a conspiracy theory? No, it's a global rollout through agencies of global governance. Is that a conspiracy theory? No, it's a 42-chapter document from years ago, from about 1992. I haven't got time to go into that at the moment because it's Friday and we've got a COVID weekend coming up. But it carries on here on the BBC website. It says what remains unclear is whether a local lockdown would focus only on the exact location where the outbreak takes place, a school, a care home or a workplace. Don't mention care homes. They're death homes now. We're going to get into that tonight if we've got time. A spokesman for the Department of Health and Social Care has said it would be publishing further guidance on containing local outbreaks. Oh, Now, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? We're going to see the next raft of ridiculous rules. A few examples of outbreaks being dealt with locally have been seen recently at meat factories in Cleckheaton, West Yorkshire and Anglesey in Wales. Of course, this is all about targeting the local area food supply. Is that a conspiracy theory? No. Why are they having these outbreaks? There's one at a big chicken factory processing plant in Wales. The Welsh have been the most compliant. Well, the Scots have had the enforcement of not being able to leave or go anywhere, much worse than in England. But in Wales, they don't like letting people in anyway. So they want a lockdown. It's very, very funny. I look at these publications like Anglesey Live, which is run by the Reach PLC group, which is the Mirror and the Express. And it's great to look at the comments of how selfish people are for visiting Wales. That's why I haven't visited Wales for a long time, because I don't want to appear selfish to them. I was asked recently in a pub when I went down to Wales, at the end of a beery night, one of the locals piped up and said, "Why aren't you speaking Welsh?" I said, "Because I live in Kent." However, yes, I'm going to now introduce Sandy Adams, because we have so much to share with you. Are you there, Sandy?
I am, Mark. How are you? All right? Yeah,
I'm actually very well.
With, you know, this talk of the spike, you know, the spike in COVID cases is quite interesting, because obviously we've got WHO, I think it's a guy called Hans Kluge, has said it's gone up due to relaxing the lockdown. And he said it's in several countries across Europe, this risk has become a reality. 30 countries have seen increases in new cumulative cases over the past 2 weeks. Well, it's interesting because there's an Italian, because the Italians are really coming out of the woodwork and telling it how it is. And there's an Italian scientist, he's actually a doctor. He's in a mainstream hospital in Milan. And his name's Dr. Alberto Zangrillo. And he's published several peer-reviewed papers on health and what have you, and the COVID as well. And he's been on kind of in ICU units in Milan. And he said that coronavirus no longer exists. So there's something going wrong here, because we're getting fed one thing, and in Italy they're saying another. And he's saying we're fighting an unknown enemy. This time without being found unprepared, it no longer exists. He reckons it's gone. And, you know, he said an awful lot has been learned, like you can't intubate people, you can't put them on ventilators, which is what people were doing, and it was killing people. So I think he's basically saying lessons have been learned, and there were no post-mortems, which is another interesting point.
I mean, that's a big issue, the lack of post-mortems. This COVID thing has been used for an actual cover-up and basically killing off the elderly. There's a great article actually on No More Fake News, John Rappaport, and he goes through the actual statistics. He says, to an astounding extent, COVID-19 is a nursing home disaster. And he says it's mass murder by cruelty. And basically, he looks into the actual figures. And it's quite interesting. It says, as of May 22nd, Forbes reports that in the 43 states that currently report such figures, an astounding 42% of all COVID deaths have taken place in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Washington Post, May the 18th, the World Health Organization said half of Europe's COVID-19 deaths occurred in such facilities. Headline of same Post article. Canada's nursing home crisis, 81% of coronavirus deaths in Canada are in long-term care facilities. The Guardian, UK Guardian, May the 16th, about 90% of the 3,700 people who have died from coronavirus in Sweden were over 70, and half were living in care homes, according to a study from Sweden's National Board of Health and Welfare. Spain, the country was shocked at the end of March, when the defense minister revealed that soldiers drafted in to disinfect residential homes had found some elderly people abandoned and dead in their beds. The regional governments of Madrid and Catalonia have been publishing their own figures on people who died in care homes from the virus. or while exhibiting symptoms consistent with it. Yeah. In Madrid, the total for COVID or suspected COVID deaths since 8th of March stood at 5,886. On Thursday in Catalonia, it was 3,375. Between them, care home deaths in the two regions account for more than a third of all coronavirus deaths in the country. Right. Guardian, 13th of April, about half of all COVID-19 deaths appear to be happening in care homes in some European cities. It goes on. But that is giving you a picture. Now, I was told by people who work in care homes that it was insane what was happening. They were bringing in elderly people from COVID wards and sticking them in the care homes. What do they do in the care homes? They sit them all together around a plasma screen TV about 6 inches apart. What could possibly go wrong? Well, we don't need an actual cause of death. This is great because you just put that on the post, on the death certificate, and it's easy, job done. So there you go. Yeah, just a few statistics there, Sandy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it has been literally, it's been the depopulation of a vast number of elderly people, which is, I mean, these are our elders, you know, they should be honoured and looked after. They've given, paid into the whole system all their lives, and what end do they get? They just get, you know, they're not even allowed to see their relatives, and they're killed off. And it's appalling. I wouldn't want it to happen to any of my relatives. You know, it's awful. Yeah, I mean, we've got, this is all part of it, and it's not being called out enough. We've, you know, everyone's clapping the NHS still. What's going on? You know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I thought they'd given up on clapping the NHS. I thought that was all over and done with, because the woman who invented it, you know, I love the way they do this, right? Because what you get is you get somebody who's actually from a PR agency or works in PR or the media, and they've all of a sudden come up with this idea, and it goes viral just by accident, just by chance, just like that. I mean, how do you actually manage to start one of these memes, I wonder? Because if I started a meme, I don't think it'd get bloody anywhere, because we don't have the ability to get it out there, you know. It's absolute rubbish, all this, isn't it?
Yeah, she got financed, and she's been manufactured, like Greta Thunberg was manufactured. She was manufactured to bring this whole meme and this kind of this awful ritual on a Thursday. I think it ends actually on this Thursday. I think people are still clapping. I don't know, but I thought it ended on the 28th or the 30th or something. I've been looking also this week at what's going to happen, because I run a pub and a music venue, you know, in Glastonbury here.
And just before we go into that, I wanted to ask you something, because I don't know whether you know this. Listen carefully. Yesterday was United Nations Micro, Small and Medium Enterprise Day. Did you know about this?
I did not, Mark.
Well, I don't know how you've missed it, Sandy, because it's had over 30 views on YouTube.
Oh, that's hilarious. What did they expect? It's obviously...
Well, I don't know what they expected, but what we got was exactly what I expected. People with faces for administration talking about resilience, diversity, sustainability and vibrancy, in the dullest possible way you can imagine. And all of these people look as though they've had jobs for life in the Politburo of the UN, and they probably have. Because when you look at the sort of people who talk about this sort of thing, they are drones. They do not have an ounce or even a molecule of energy or vibrancy or diversity, which is kind of ironic, really, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the thing is that you know, I'm you know, I've got this business that has lost a vast amount of money this year. I've lost all my profits from last year, and I've now got debts, and I'm setting it up in a different way to try and overcome all this. I've got other people involved. But, do you know, I was just looking at what I've got to put up with. It's a one-way system in the pub. No one is allowed to stand at the bar. Table service only, contactless payments, no quiz nights or live entertainment. Why can't you have a quiz night? Oh, because people will talk to each other. Can't have that. Everybody's got to be on separate tables. And get this, in Ireland, it's even worse. I mean, you know, it's absolutely worse. They're in pubs, they've got to have this. Well, they're also trying to encourage people in England to take people's details for contact tracing. I'm going to refuse to do it. absolutely 100% refuse to take people's details at the bar. It's against the Data Protection Act. And it's against the GDPR, which is the EU General Data Protection Register. So it's actually against the law to take people's details. And I'm amazed that people are going to do it. There's a barrister called Francis Hoare, and he's a lawyer in Chambers in London. And he put it on Twitter last night and said, if you're doing this, you are breaking the law. So why they think it's okay to take people's names and addresses and details at the bar, I'm just amazed, because I certainly will not be doing it. And, you know, he said that the guidance is not law, it's guidance. And how much of this is guidance, you know? How much do we really have to deal with this and put it into play? Because in Ireland, it's so much worse. I mean, I don't know whether it's because they've got EU status, and I believe it might be, because we effectively, supposedly, are out of the EU. But, you know, that Ireland have got much stricter rules. You have to have a meal that costs around €9. It must be sold to each customer. There must be a time limit. Everybody has to be out of the building by 105 minutes. And get this, when patrons leave the area that they've left, there must be 5 minutes at least before another lot come in, which is exactly the time that it takes for your phone to tether to someone else and or disconnect from someone else. So that's what it's about. That 15-minute limit is so that they can actually keep an eye on the contact tracing, because when you've got your phone next to somebody else's phone, it takes 15 minutes to clear that. And you have to remain seated except when you go to the lavatory or when you're departing. The whole thing is mad. And yet in Sweden, everybody's absolutely, back to normal. So, you know, is the science different? You know, is the virus different in other countries?
Well, Sweden's already communist. That's the difference. Sweden's already a communist country. So I suppose they've got to get them a little bit more ready for the implementation of a full lockdown. But it is not actually workable, the whole thing. I think that's the point to it. So I think there will be a second wave. We've been talking about this for quite a long time. It's interesting, actually, because somebody I knew years ago, a friend of mine who is a musician, seems to be recruiting people who are off our radar. So there are a lot of people questioning. The problem is, Sandy, they don't have the coordinates that we have. And that is a huge problem, because if you don't understand why this is being done, then it is not going to really sink in how this is working globally and coming in locally. And that is a big problem, which is where we have a bit of an advantage, because we've been swatting away for years on end, looking at documents, and I've been burning the midnight oil, ladies and gentlemen, putting it all together for a very long time. And it was funny, actually, because a friend of mine phoned up just before the show, Jack Ludlam. If you're listening, Jack, howdy. Well, Jack, I used to know from Soho years ago, and we were just talking about the sort of life and death of good old days, basically. And it's not because we're getting old, it's because there aren't any good times to be had anywhere. And I think that's pretty apparent with what's coming out of the new regulations. I mean, this is just unbelievable. What the OPN nightmare. Well, we're going to have a break now. Do call in if you want. You know the number, don't you? 800-313-9443. I'm with Sandy Adams. This is Windows on the World. See you after the break.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com. where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. I disappeared there for a minute. I thought it was you, Sandy, but being out in the middle of nowhere does have certain disadvantages. I just completely lost the internet for a minute there. Well, could have been a couple of seconds, who knows. But we're back. This is Windows on the World. Yes, it's another COVID Friday. And we're just discussing what that actually means. And in the UK, we are still in a kind of lockdown. But people are going a bit crazy because the sun's come out. There was even a fight at a beach the other day in Bournemouth. And the local councillor saying, this is out of control. The local papers are saying, how selfish of the public to be going out and enjoying themselves in the sunshine. Are you still there, Sandy?
I am indeed. I mean, I don't know what they expect people to do. I mean, they've been locked up for 3 months and it's the hottest day. It was the hottest weekend of the year, day of the year, last weekend. And people are stir crazy and they're angry as well. I think that it's not surprising there's people having fights on the beach because I think there's an awful lot of people who possibly aren't as understanding of what's really going on, and they're possibly angry that there were, you know, massive demonstrations in London last week, not one arrest under the COVID laws, and you know they've gone out to the beach to have a nice day, and they're raging. I think they're, you know, I'm not excusing it, people fighting on beaches, but the fact that the 500,000 people descended on the English south coast at the weekend is not surprising. And why is it selfish? You know, people have just been cooped up too long and they are just, they're like caged animals at the moment. They want to get out. So I think it's, you know, it's not, you know, I don't think all the blame can go on to the people for wanting to be in the sunshine. It's, you know, it's, and it's this whole thing that it's dangerous to be out in the open air.
Well, this is the actual mantra that they put in. It's very interesting, because what happens is that you look at these sort of newspapers like the Live Group. They're particularly bad for it. They're run, I think I mentioned this earlier, by Reach PLC, which owns the Mirror and the Express. And that's a kind of communitarian press. In other words, it frames itself in this kind of community way. But all of the articles in there are really about social kind of implementation of agendas. So it's really psychological steering. And what these papers do, I think we've mentioned this before, is they regularly kind of demonize people, or they set up people or organizations or events as enemies of other people. So it works in this completely communitarian way. And I find this quite interesting, because when you look at the actual comments underneath, what you get is you get these kind of people, I haven't been out for 12 weeks. I thought, well, more fool you. You know, no one's actually been keeping you hostage. You're not the British government. You're not hostages like Boris Johnson, you know. I mean, you can actually go out. No one's actually going to stop you. So, I haven't seen my relatives. Why? They're all so selfish. They're bringing back the second wave. They should be ashamed of themselves. And you get these kind of complete idiots who've been barricading themselves in. And really, this is their own fault. If they're still at the stage where they believe it, I'm sorry. But all the evidence seems to go to the contrary if you actually look for it. We've got John in Austin. Are you still there, John?
Hi, Mark. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, John.
Good man. Listen, I was listening to the BBC World News here on the local NPR station last night, and they were interviewing a professor from Liverpool University who's been doing a study now on the psychological damage that's been done by COVID-19. I thought to myself,
good point,
they're never
going
to quit, are they?
No, because if you look at it, John, it's the mass compliance test. And you're from Scotland, aren't you, I suggest?
Yeah.
And the lockdown up there, I've got a friend in Lanark, and she said it's terrible up there. Well, you know what police Scotland are like anyway at the best of times, and this is the worst
of times.
It's
embarrassing,
mate.
I've been following it on Facebook. I've got a lot of friends on Facebook, and some of the comments I see, I just wish I could afford to fly over there and slap them.
it's really tragic. I mean, yeah, I've got a few friends in Scotland, and it is really bad, because they're actually scared of getting on the M8 to get out of the country. I mean,
exactly.
Ridiculous.
Well, I'm just looking forward to some tasty headlines in the future. Like, someone bought a loaf of bread in Sainsbury's and it was mould, COVID-19. Tennis player got tennis elbow, COVID-19. What the hell? Where's it going to... It's never going to quit, is it? All right, I'll let you get back
because
to your beautiful...
It's...
Thank you, John. Beautiful guest there, mate. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thanks. Great to hear you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable what's going on. But yeah, he's right, because what is going on here is they're extending it. It goes into everything. Once you get hold of the minds of the public, then you can steer it anywhere. So COVID-19, certificate of vaccination, 2019. Which came out of a pandemic exercise, is the ideal vehicle for global governance. Is that a conspiracy theory? No!
Oh.
What the World Health Organization talk about all the time. See you after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Ah, welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm with Sandy Adams today. It's Friday. It's COVID Friday. And the novelty's wearing off, isn't it? I think that a lot of people are really fed up with it now. So we've got another story here, which I want to get into. I'm going to bring Sandy in a minute. The fake Church of England have been involving themselves in trivia again. Now, before I get into this, I want to give you a quote. I'm making a film at the moment about the heretics of London, the Smithfield Martyrs. And of course, this was quite a wide net of people, the reformers, who were bringing the Bible into English, into Britain. And Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1532 to 1534, was a leader of the English Reformation, wrote the Book of Common Prayer, actually. And when he was accused of heresy, and after his previous recantations, he was expected to recant again. It was at Oxford in St. Mary's Church that Cranmer was expected to recant. But instead, he said, and I quote, "And as for the Pope, I refuse him as Christ's enemy and Antichrist with all his false doctrine." And the Universal Church of Rome has degenerated further since then. Remember that the Church of England is incorporated into the Universal Church, and they have become one with global governance. The popes have signed up for global governance, even accepted the false doctrine of global warming to further enslave all for what they call the common good. After the fall of the Church of England to Rome and global governance, Thomas Cranmer could not have been surprised when, wait for it, I'm getting to the point here, The current Archbishop of Canterbury, the spineless and manipulated Justin Welby, now the head of the beast, which is also known as the Church of England, has joined in with the fake diversity trivia of whether statues should be ripped down. Even Nelson Mandela's widow stood up for statues, as Welby said some would have to come down. Can you believe that? This creep, in my opinion, this Justin Welby, is now involving himself in this, and he's even talking about Black Lives Matter. Let's see what else they were talking about. The communal communitarian do-gooding antichrist and compromise puppet in a frock. that's my opinion, by the way. Not the opinion of the station. Is used to wading in on behalf of what the old school would call communists. Even communist Nelson Mandela's widow, Gracia Michel, not Winnie, this other one, Gracia Michel, has implored anti-racism campaigners not to tear down statues because they serve as grave reminders of past atrocities. Well, not all of them, because I'm going to actually digress here. There is, if anybody touches or sprays the statue of Frank Sidebottom in Timperley, I am going to put out a fundraiser to catch the culprit, because it's a joyful celebration of the life of someone who sang music hall through a papier-mâché head. Anyone who has never heard of Frank Sidebottom, look him up. You might laugh, you might be horrified. Sorry, I digress. The activist said, this is her, Mandela's ex-missus, I believe even it might be much more positive to keep them because you are going to tell generations to come this is how it started and this is how it should never be. Well, that's profound, isn't it? Well, I think what she's trying to say is remember history. Well, we don't remember history, do we? That's the whole point. People know nothing about history. They even vandalised the statue of Jimi Hendrix. I mean, it's bloody pathetic, isn't it? Her remarks put her at loggerheads with the Archbishop of Canterbury, who today revealed he would be reviewing statues at Canterbury Cathedral. Justin Welby said monuments would be looked at very carefully to see if they should be there. In a wide-ranging interview, oh really? Yeah, I can imagine. He also urged the West to reconsider its prevailing mindset that Jesus was white. Well, nobody said he was white, did they? Has anyone ever said Jesus was white? I don't think it's...
I think you may have gone, Mark. Yeah, I don't think Justin Welby has ever said Jesus was white. Well, I don't think anybody's, you know, maybe there's a few people that have said Jesus is white, but Justin Welby, he gets involved in all of this globalization agenda, and I found him on we were talking earlier about the clapping, the NHS clapping, and what they've been doing is going out every Thursday to clap the NHS, which we know the NHS, a lot of the NHS hospitals have been empty, and people have simply been culled in their old people and in the old people's homes. So we've had people like Justin Welby is now on the what they call the 5th of July initiative, which is something that they're going to stop the clapping. But they've got to have a big sort of celebration of stopping the clapping. So they've got this 5th of July initiative coming up, of which Justin Welby is on the committee, along with the CEO of the NHS and Anne-Marie Plass, who started the Clap for Carers fake meme, and Baroness Doreen Lawrence. I don't know who she is, but for some reason they've got the artistic director of the Young Vic. I'm sure that's a theatre in London. That's because it must be a bit of theatre. We've got a footballer called Gary Lineker and an astronaut called Tim Peake on this committee to celebrate and light candles for the NHS on the 5th of July. And Justin Welby is one of them, and he's on the Together steering group, which again is another part of all of this, this push towards sustainable development. And so, you know, we've and it's all headed up by, wouldn't you know, the Government Behavioural Insights team. And they are really behind the behavioural insights to what is going on and the manipulation of the minds of the British public. So we've got all this to look forward to on July the 5th. Now, I've got a few things here from some really silly things that have turned up in the Netherlands. You know, under COVID-19, in our one of our newspapers, the Daily Mail, we've had social distancing clubbing brought to our attention, which is absolutely ridiculous. You've got they're going to have DJs and possibly live, not live bands, but because you can't, but music, DJs and music in clubs in the afternoons. Now, for some reason, COVID-19 isn't quite so dangerous in the afternoon. I mean, I find that really bizarre. And you've got people sitting in nightclubs on chairs, 2 metres apart or 1 metre if it's been brought down to 1 metre. And they are dancing with their feet, but on a chair. And what? This is COVID clubbing. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I dropped out for a minute there.
Rabbiting away.
You see. You're COVID clubbing. Yeah, you sit in your chair, don't you? You sit in your chair like a complete idiot. Where did I get to? I was talking about Nelson Mandela, Justin Welby, and statues.
Statues. Well, I just talked about Justin Welby being on this 5th of July initiative, which is where the whole of the UK light candles. And they've got this steering committee, which Justin Welby is on. To actually have a big sort of ceremony and light candles to end the clapping, but to honour the NHS and good old Justin Welby. He's wherever there's a he's on the Together Steering Group, which is another one of these little NGOs that they've got to push all this forward, to push the agenda forward.
Oh, I can't stand him, as you probably can tell, unless I got cut off when I got into the best bit. But it says Reverend Welby also revealed that statues in Canterbury Cathedral would be under review on the back of a nationwide Black Lives Matter campaign to rip down monuments to controversial figures. So basically, these three Marxist LGBT change agents who use race baiting and they're named as change agents on their own website, they even won an award for it, to spread chaos and attempt to incite a civil war. They're being taken seriously and under consideration by the head of the Church of England. I mean, this fella is the epitome of the change agent, but he's such a spineless and horrible person that I do have to speak up against him and denounce him, just as Cranmer would have done the Pope. I hope you understand, Sandy.
Well done, you. No, he is a change agent. It's you can tell them a mile off. They're in every single little, you know, their fingers in all the pies of global governance. You know, that's what they do. That's their job.
Yeah, here's a quote from him. He said, "Some names will have to change. I mean, the church, goodness me, you know, you just go around Canterbury Cathedral, there's monuments everywhere, or Westminster Abbey, and we're looking at all that, and some will have to come down," this little cretin says. What the hell has it got to do with him? What's it got to do with him? Okay, he's head of the Church of England, right? But it's the kind of way that these people take on these roles. I mean, they seem to play these sort of multiple roles in society, whatever comes up, you know. And of course, I may seem a bit biased against him here, but I've suffered this person on Channel 4 News and all these news stations over the years. He jumps on everything to do with the global governance agenda and everything that is anti-religion. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, it's awful that you've got somebody who's supposed to be, a conduit to God or whatever, or an advocate of God, and doing totally godless things. And this is what we're finding. This is what the Pope's doing. You know, where is God in all this? There is no God. This is anti-human. It's the whole
thing. It is indeed.
Yeah.
Have we still got John in Tennessee there?
You do. Can you hear me?
Sorry, John. I'm living out in the middle of nowhere. I sort of have this bare existence of climbing up and down the cliff to get water and going to Aldi twice a week, you know. But yes,
well, good
what did
for
you call
you.
It about,
I
John?
I live in the country. I live in the middle of nowhere myself. So,
excellent.
Congratulations for escaping. I've got a question for both of you. Are they destroying here in the States? They're actually so stupid. They're not ignorant. I guess they are ignorant because they don't know the monuments that they're tearing down in D.C. they're actually talking about pulling down the Lincoln Memorial. And if you believe history, which I don't, Lincoln supposedly emancipated the black man, when in effect, what he really did was to enslave everyone. Anyway, they're tearing down, they want to pull down Lincoln Memorial. They're destroying graves of blacks and whites. They've got a memorial in Washington, D.C. to one of the black troops, and they've actually destroyed and defaced it. So Black Lives Matter, apparently America's education system has worked so well that these people have been dumbed down to the point that they don't know what they're doing. I'm just wondering, is the average person in England or Britain or the UK, are they aware that this is all part of the New World Order, that it's actually an attack by the Freemasons on Christianity? Do they know that COVID is a hoax? Or are they taking it seriously?
No, not many do, John. Not many do. I mean, I think we're in a minority. There's an educated minority. It's very difficult sometimes, I think, because the people that I mix with are the people who are on the same wavelength as me, because when I hear the conversations of the general public, I don't want to be anywhere near them. So to answer your question, I would say that we have, yes, a very dumbed down population in this country, and they're very easily psychologically steered, and the divide and rule aspect works a treat. But obviously, we were thinking that because we have an educated audience at RBN, that more people in the States were educated. So are you telling us that that's not the case, John?
Well, let me ask you, Sandy, when you approach people, are you able to do it freely in Britain? And when you approach them, do you get the reception from them that you're a crackpot or you're a conspiracy theorist? Or are they accepting the information?
It's interesting because I'm of the opposite view. I'm seeing a turn in the tide, and I have to be optimistic because I am seeing a turn, particularly because we're calling them out. We're calling them out all the time. And because it's been such a confusing time for people, nobody knew when anything would open up until a few days before. And you've got people going to the beach and being told off. I think people are beginning to see the stupidity in it all. They don't know what's behind it, but it doesn't take long to find out. And whenever I'm in a queue, you know, to go into the hardware store or wherever, I stand in the queue, and I don't wear a mask, I stand in the queue. I always talk to people and I engage with them. What do you think about all this? And do you know what? I've had such a response because people are saying, I think it's crazy. We're just kind of going along with it because obviously the neighbours are going along with it and so-and-so is going along with it. But, you know, we don't believe it. So I think there's a tide turning. And the more we call out and we predict the next thing they're going to do, which we know they're going to come up with a second wave. And we were talking about it the other day. In my view, it will be in livestock in order to get people to evacuate into the cities because people are leaving the cities to get into the countryside. You know, it's on the United Nations website about zoonotic diseases. So that to me is a clue they're going to bring something out. Now, I've called that out on my website and on my Facebook page, and I've given it to others to share as widely as they can. And I wrote a document on it because if you could actually predict it, people will say, well, that's weird that, you know, somebody's already predicted that. So, you know, it seems that you know, the way it's working, I've spoken to a lot of people this week, and people that I wouldn't have thought would actually be going along with this are, you know, understanding that it's a plan. It surprised me, actually. It's really surprised me. People in this town.
That is quite interesting because I think that because of the way it's been handled, that has caused more people to realise what's going on. But yeah. I think the main problem is the level of education into what's going on. That is a bit of a problem. But yeah, I think this has been going on so long now. But even if you look at the statistics, you see, they've dropped off. So in other words, it looks like it is over. The media's still trying to basically hold it up. But it's gone, really. The whole thing is finished. So what we're looking for, I suppose, is the next thing. Yeah. Carry on, Tom.
Let me ask one more question, then I've got to run because I'm actually working. How is it being? Is there any word of what Bill Gates is wanting to do with this implantable nanoparticulate that's going to be in an injection? Are they talking about that there? And what do you think people would do if they were required to take it in order to continue to work?
This is a very good question, because Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, was actually talking and referring to anti-vaxxers at a UN meeting last year. So they know there's going to be a kickback. There is quite a big kickback against that, actually, Tom. Well, it's a break, yes, but I think that
the actual vaccine you're talking about is not known by a lot of people.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. We're going to come back and we're going to have a little break. Hopefully, I'll stay here with Sandy. This is Windows on the World. See you after the break.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Friday, we've got weekend ahead of us. Hasn't it all blurred into one recently? It's been very nice, though, in a way. The weather's fantastic in Britain at the moment. Yes, just before the break, Tom was talking about, really, I think, referring to what is known as ID 2020, which is this biometric vaccine. I don't think that many people in Britain are aware that there's a biometric vaccine. They do sort of refer to it, but it's kind of very, very interesting. Yeah, that's so. John was the caller. Yeah, I've just had that from the control room. Yes. Now, it's an interesting thing because we've been looking at this for quite a long time. And yes, yeah, Sandy, you wanted to come in with something, didn't you?
Well, you know, I was just looking at the they released statistics this week from Sweden. In Sweden, haven't had the in this country, and so they didn't need to. But even so, it's been quite good to look at how Sweden were affected and how Britain was affected, which today the statistics from Sweden are 5%. People had pre-existing conditions. 90% were over 70. 90% were over 70. Yeah. 48% were in care homes. 26% were at home but being cared for. And in England, we had 95%. Now, in the healthy population, and there are only 4 deaths of people under 20, 37 deaths of people under 40, and 298 deaths of people under 60, and there was no post-mortems, which is the most defining thing. But, you know, the fact is that these people, we've quarantined the whole healthy nation, really. Where it should have been the other way around. The vulnerable should have been quarantined, and we've destroyed our common economy in doing so.
Well, I don't think it's weird. It was it's a global action plan. So, yeah, still hear me, I presume, Sandy. Yeah. Yeah, so really, I think the whole thing has been used as the beneficial crisis. It's basically a big compliance test, and they're just testing compliance because obviously different areas are less compliant than others. So you have this now mapping of what's going to happen next time. So basically, all of this has been a surveillance exercise and a participation exercise into the next phase. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about protest or a virus. It's all a mind virus. It's all part of the same thing. It's all part of global governance, which has nothing to do with government. And that is a thing that the public need to get their heads around. I'm going to try and broach that subject this weekend. I'll be talking about that quite a lot. And when I go and talk amongst people, I actually do bring this up because most people don't understand that governance is unstructured. The government that they see are hostages, Boris Johnson and the two stooges, whoever they may be at the particular briefing. They're only there just to basically inform the public what they have been told. That's it from us. Hey, we've got some great stuff on next week. Thanks to Sandy. Thanks for listening. And Mark Windows, windowsontheworld.net. Join us for the Sunday show. Thanks a lot, Sandy. See you all Monday.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show The Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're a listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.